The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
We welcome you back. It is great to have you here for the final hour. And we're really looking forward to talking to our next guest. He is Horace King, who was part of a momentous group of people 50 years ago who broke the color barrier at the University of Georgia. Horace King, with several of his teammates, Chuck Kennebrew, Clarence Pope, Larry West, and Richard Appleby, were honored yesterday and today at the College Football Hall of Fame in Georgia. And Horace, thank you very much for joining us. I know seeing your friends and your former teammates had to be a tremendous thrill for you. Good afternoon, and tell us all about it.
Yeah, well, good afternoon, and thanks for having me. Actually, to have all five of us together at the same time, it has truly actually been 50 years. There have been times that's been 3, 2, and 4 of us, but all five of us together at the same time, it has truly been 50 years. So the family is still together. We still enjoy each other, telling some of the same old jokes. Maybe they've been enhanced a little bit. But today has just been an exciting and a fantastic day. Looking more forward to what's going to happen the rest of the week. And I hope the Dogs can pull another one off for this week.
Well, Horace, you had a very successful career there and went on to the NFL. But let's go back 50 years ago, 1971. Obviously, things had started moving in the right direction in the South and in Georgia and around the surrounding areas. But you tell us. I mean, what was it like, and what did you guys deal with in relation to the times?
Well, they were changing times. The first situation I had with integration was my senior year in high school. And that was a terminus school year that wasn't that enjoyable, but I had football and I had basketball, and on the basketball team, we really had a lot of fun and enjoyed each other. The football team, was a bit disgruntled. But things was actually changing in Georgia at the time, and this whole thing of being recruited, when the University of Georgia stepped in front of me and offered me an academic athletic scholarship, I was just excited. And I was looking at, thinking only I was going to end up at a HBCU school, but when all the recruiting and all that stuff was said and done, my mother pretty much made the decision and told me that I was going to the University of Georgia, and it turned out to be a great decision and a good one for me.
Horace, you mentioned the difficulty in high school, and that is not unusual for those times. How were you able to deal with that? I mean, you're a young man. We're all volatile at that age, and most of us have never had to go through what you went through.
Well, being a decent human being and being respectful of others, I think, was beneficial and helpful to me. We had a mixture of Bernie Harris at predominantly black school that I came from. We had some white teachers that had stepped in, and it was just a matter-of-fact kind of thing that had to happen. Change was occurring, and the only way that it could happen is that somebody snapped a chalk line. It just happened to be that point in time in history where I was present when all that happened. But I try to be the best person that I could be, treat everybody like a respectful, decent human being, and things appear to have worked out pretty well for me. I didn't have any real serious confrontation in any kind of situation. So I navigate through the process as best I could.
Horace, when you got to Athens and you had some, you had a band of brothers, so to speak, take us back to that time. And I'm sure all of you can laugh about it now, but what did all of you go through together, and how did you help lift each other up?
The band of brothers, when the five of us showed up at the University of Georgia, I'm actually from Athens. I went to Clark Central High School, which is about 5 blocks away from the University of Georgia campus. And likewise with Clarence Pope and Richard Appleby. Wes and Kennebrew, Wes was from Albany and Kennebrew was from Rome. The minute that we kind of met, you could tell that we came from similar kind of homes and backgrounds. And one of the things that I could tell about my roommate was that his mother was a little disciplined about, like mine's was, you had to make your bed every morning when you got up. And the family part just kind of took shape as we were freshmen together on the freshman football team, because in 71, you had to play freshman ball. And over time, as things progressed, we talked about being student athletes and actually graduating from the University of Georgia, not just being football players, because there were other facets to our life than just being athletes. And it just grew and mushroomed from there. And as other players came in, they joined in on the family and the fray. My roommate Larry West, I think he got married our sophomore year, so I had a replacement in a guy named Rayfield Williams, and we bonded together real well. We had our meetings to try to support and help each other as problems or situations arose, and dealt with it from within the group of the five of us when we were first there.
Horace, how aware, I mean, you're a high school football, basketball player. This is an important moment in your life. You get to college, but how aware were you and your friends who were honored today of what was going on around the South at various other SEC schools? And did you, when you traveled and played games, were you able to communicate or commiserate with other players who were going through similar things?
Rarely did we communicate with the other players. I did get a chance to, we played Maryland once, and I think we ended up playing them twice, and I got to know Lewis Carter, and I got to speak with him about his experience being in Maryland. And most of them was all similar kind of situations. I grew up in Athens, so the homesick thing never happened for me, but some of the other players, it may have happened. So,
this podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Wes and Kennebrew, I took them out into the community to meet the people that the church that I attended. Other people in the community they got to know, that they befriended. And likewise, just the five of us just being together, having our conversations and talk about what was actually going on and happening in this experience as we went through the college process. You know, being 18 years old, I couldn't tell you, the only forward looking that I was looking forward to was I going to get to play on Saturday, and what kind of date I probably won't have on the weekend.
I had a feeling you were going there. I'm curious, you mentioned your mom, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I think I can accurately say she was probably pretty proud of your accomplishments. So take us into your house and let us know what the folks were saying.
This recruiting process started happening, and that was a meeting call with Coach Dooley and some other members of the community. The names that I remember is Walter Allen, James Smith, and a guy named Max Sewell. And in the conversation, we was talking about whether they really wanted to recruit and wanted us to go to Georgia to play football. I didn't want to just be the first black athlete at Georgia. I wanted to make sure that I was going to truly get an opportunity to display my talents out on the field. And that was kind of met. And a few statements into the conversation, Dr. Walter Allen just came up with the answer and said that King and Appleby will come to school over here if you accept Pope. And Vince gave Pope a walk-on scholarship, and that sealed the deal for us to go to Georgia.
Horace King, our guest. Horace, let us know what it was like when you mentioned you, some of you have been together, but when you got all five back together this week, what was that like, and what was the biggest falsehood told about each other?
Don't remember any falsehood. Most things we just stuck with was telling jokes and talking about the songs that we remember and enjoy. And also on campus, you know, we had started the Black Student Union. And usually on a Friday or Saturday night, we had a building over here called the Memorial Hall. And it was built back out in the 50s, I think. And it had hardwood floors. And Greek shows was held in there. And you could stomp on that floor and make a lot of noise and great sounds. And a lot of Friday and Saturday night parties were held over there. And those were the moments that you could cut back and let your hair loose, especially when football season went in. We had a curfew at 11 o'clock, and I usually tried to be there at 10:30 because my dad was one of them sticklers about if you're going to go somewhere and be there at 8 o'clock, you need to be there 10 to 15 minutes ahead of time to be on schedule, be on time. So the campus life was a joy. The students that I went to school with, the classes with, and I got to meet and tutored with some of them, was really a great experience for me the entire time. I enjoyed my college experience. There were possibly some players that didn't necessarily care or expect that you was there, but I was there and I was going to do the best I can as a student athlete. And that's what I tried to keep my mind and my focus on, what I was there to do, not to fix and to solve anybody else's problems, but to take care of my piece of business.
Horace, before you go, I'm curious what you and your friends must think about today's athletes who live in a completely different world. You understand that. Not only are they, you know, this is not only is this not an issue any longer, they're able to do things that you guys couldn't do, such as make money. What are your thoughts on what's happening right now?
Well, I hope that money situation don't get too much out of hand. And an example that I would think of, okay, we got a quarterback down here that just was given a pretty large sum of money. Okay, I got an offensive lineman or a center over here that don't necessarily get a lot of high publicity, but he protecting the quarterback. If I'm the quarterback, I think I might ought to find a way to cut off a piece and share it with everybody versus hoarding it for myself, because we're talking about a game that requires all 11 people doing their job and their assignment on a regular basis. Not one person would get all the glory and all the accolades, but those others contribute to it. So it would probably be best to take care of your buddies that are taking care of you up front, to keep that team together and to keep camaraderie going. Another thing that's kind of I'm thinking about is loyalty to these schools and institutions. You know, they get a chance now to change and say that I want to leave and go to some other place and actually play. In some instances, I think that's a real good thing. In others, this may not be the best thing for everybody to take that road. So it's some real challenges coming up for these coaches over time. And Kirby seemed to be doing a pretty good job of handling, making that happen for the University of Georgia. And I hope he stays successful in doing that as the season and the years progress.
Horace King, part of a group being celebrated 50 years later. Many thanks for coming on, Horace. All the best, and we really enjoyed talking to you.
Yeah, same here. Thanks for giving me this opportunity.
Thank you very, very much. An extraordinary story to think about the history of the University of Georgia and of college football. We'll take a break. More to come and your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We welcome you back. Between John Talty and Mike Griffith, Buddy Martin's got a busy night. Anyway, let's get back to Al in Alabama. Hello, Al. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Paul. How are you today?
Very well. Thank you.
Yeah, well, I really enjoyed that piece with Horace King. I remember that season in 71. I had Art Russell as defensive coordinator.
Oh, yeah.
And but no, what I called about, and I got a granddaughter in Auburn, and I try to keep up with them, too. But when they hired Brian Harsin, I read up on him and found out before he got into coaching, he was actually a licensed NHRA Top Fuel dragster driver.
Was he really? I didn't know that.
His father owned the team, Dale Harsin.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty interesting story. I just thought a lot of Auburn fans might want to look it up. They would think they would enjoy reading it.
Well, I will check that out. Thank you for sharing that. Appreciate it very much. Good to hear from you. Let's continue with more phone calls. And Joe is up next in Red Bay, Alabama.
We thank you for taking my call, Paul, but we don't really worry about what the Mariners look up. I mean, they don't want to look up too much. Are they going to see how many times Alabama has whooped them on the field, off the field? Our girls are prettier, you know.
I got to ask you a question, and I hope I'm not speaking out of school because I know you told our producer something. That is there any chance you could share with us what you're eating for supper tonight?
Well, a friend of mine, you know, he shot a squirrel back in the. You know, back in the winter, and he brought it over, and my girlfriend come down from Florence, and she cooked squirrel dumplings. But I mean,
Hold on a second. Your girlfriend's coming down from Florence, and
she's here now.
Okay, well, great. She's cooking. Squirrel
dumplings.
Squirrel dumpling? I mean, I've had chicken dumplings, but I'm afraid to ask what squirrel dumplings are.
Well, it's pretty much dumplings with squirrel in it. But, I mean, this is the first time I've ate squirrel since back in the 80s. When I went shooting at a friend of mine's grandpa's house, we shot some squirrel and we barbecued it up, you know, and ate it. But this is the first time I've actually had squirrel dumplings, and oh, they're pretty good.
I vaguely remember somebody telling me they cooked possum once before. Is that possible?
I do know some that have, but okay. I'm not brave enough to try that. I mean, I stick with the main course.
I'm completely ignorant of this. By the way, if squirrels are good to eat, then I mean I could just go out in my backyard and I'd never have to buy a meal again. But I wonder. Could you tell the rest of us uneducated people what a squirrel tastes like?
It tastes like, well, actually, if you just barbecue it up and you drink enough beers, it just tastes like you're eating a steak. So, but now, if you ain't drinking beer,
no, I look at a squirrel and I see that bushy tail and I see that rat-like looking face. I'm just trying to think what's to eat on that thing.
Well, Paul, best thing you can do is just shoot them. I mean, how many squirrels get out in the road trying to commit suicide? I mean, they can't have a life. I mean, they just want to end it.
Squirrel dumplings.
I mean, because those.
So you wrap the squirrel meat in a dumpling, right?
No. You just make dumplings normal and just, you know, cut the meat off, you know, and just throw the meat off in it. And then after a while, it's dumplings.
Okay, I got you. Okay,
with meat in it.
Okay, enough. No more questions on squirrel dumplings. And you're,
can
you're
we right. go to football now?
We can, yes.
Okay, these Florida people that think Alabama are arrogant.
Yeah, Buddy Martin said that there's an Alabama arrogance permeating the air this week.
We're not arrogant. I mean, if you just said right now, I'm going to Red Bay and I'm fixing to rough up Joe from Red Bay, that ain't arrogance because you could probably do it. I mean, you know, that's the same thing. It ain't arrogant. Put those Florida fans, put them in Alabama jerseys, you know, in shirts. Do you not expect your team to go down there and whoop them?
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. Well, listen, you take care of yourself and eat well. Bon appetit. Devin is up next in Louisiana. Go right ahead.
Hey, Paul, how are you doing?
We're doing great. Thank you for the call.
Yes, sir. Thanks for taking it. First time on the show. Hey, Paul, a quick question. I want to see what your thoughts are on the situation going on in Baton Rouge. How many games do you think Coach O has left before they pull the plug?
Well, I do think the next week's game is going to help set the table for the rest of the year. And it would be impossible to answer. I think if Mississippi State beats LSU, then I think a lot of fans are going to be heading for the hills. But I'm a long way from making that call on this Thursday.
Yeah, I'll actually be at the game Saturday. I don't know. It's kind of interesting. Not really sure what to think about it. I mean, I'm a big Coach O's fan. I like him. I think he's a good recruiter. I think he's a good coach. It's just, I don't know. LSU football is just not the same right now. It's kind of odd, but really appreciate your call, taking my call. Thank you, Paul.
Yeah, no, I mean, I don't ever want to give advice to a fan base, but I do think LSU fans just need to kind of move on from what happened a couple of weeks ago and see what happens in the next few weeks. The schedule is so challenging, but that Mississippi State game is critical. You just can't let that game get away. LSU is supposed to win that game. We don't know, you know, we don't know what's going to happen, you know, beyond that. But that's, you know, the games are going to get more difficult. I mean, it's an incredibly challenging schedule. But I think to talk about that is really somewhat ridiculous right now.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.